And God's not here to build big ministries, to prop up personalities. He's here to turn the heart. He's here to turn the hearts of the children back to God.
Hello, friends. Welcome to the Life Tabernacle Church podcast. It's an honor to be with you today. This podcast serves as our church's weekly sermon archive. Tune in each week to hear what God is speaking in our community. Be sure to follow and share with a friend. We hope you enjoy today's message. If you guys have your Bibles with me this morning, would you turn to 1 Kings chapter 17? And I'm going to read verse 1 for you guys this morning. Give you a moment to turn there. This is what the word of the Lord says, starting in 1 Kings 17:1. Now Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word." And go ahead and flip over to chapter 18, starting in verse 41. And Elijah said to Ahab, "Go eat and drink from there is the sound of a heavy rain." So Ahab went off to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Carmel, bent down to the ground, and put his face between his knees. "Go and look towards the sea," he told his servant. And he went up and he looked. "There is nothing there," he said. Seven times Elijah said, "Go back." The seventh time the servant reported, "A cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea." So Elijah said, "Go tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot, go down before the rain stops you." Meanwhile, the sky grew back with the clouds, the wind arose, a heavy rain started falling, and Ahab rode off to Jezreel. The power of the Lord came on Elijah, and tucking his cloak into his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Emily. Well, my friends, we haven't got to talk much the past few weeks. We've had a lot going on the month of July. And since our vote and since our celebration of Pastor Tino and Brenda last week, I haven't really got to share too much. It wasn't my time to share, but this morning before we hop into the message, I really have a few things to share with you. So number one, I just want to say I'm really thankful for the Lord. I can't begin to express the amount of gratitude that I have for God's faithfulness in my life. And if it wasn't for him, amen, I wouldn't be where I am. You wouldn't be where you are. It's only by God's grace that we're even alive. And I just say to you, my friends, I'm thankful for God. In the good and the bad, I'm thankful. You know, on the mountains and the valleys, I'm thankful. So I just confess to you today, I'm just thankful for his goodness. Secondly, I'm thankful for you all. Emily and I are deeply honored that we've earned your trust and that we get to serve as your pastors. I know I'm 27, but I think it helps that I'm bald. It's funny, I was at camp meeting in North Carolina this weekend and Bishop Lawrence was referencing, "It's good to see all the young people." And then he looked at me and said, "Well, kind of, you know. Just want to say I'm thankful for you all. Most of you all have watched me grow up. Chris coached me in youth basketball, and I was terrible. Many of y'all were here when I preached my first sermon right here on this stage in a little longhorn bow tie. And it was a terrible sermon, but God was glorified. I think it was 5 minutes. Tino had to clean up afterwards. But I just want to say, Emily and I want to say thank you. It's going to be the honor. It is the honor of our life to serve as your pastors. And that leads me to number three, that becoming a lead pastor is something that I have been praying for, preparing towards, and now anointed and appointed to do. It was when I was 13 or 14 years old that I began to sense a call to ministry. And all of you knew it before I did. My mom would tell me, I know what you're going to do, you know. You're going to preach the word. And I said, no, I'm going to go play college football. And in God's grace, that didn't work out. God broke my hip, kind of. Now I walk with a limp, literally. But what I can say is, this is a long time coming for me. And being able to grow up in this place and then now serve, it's hard to comprehend for me. And there's a story I'll tell you at the end of my sermon that pertains to how special it is. I'll just reserve it for later. Number four, as you already know, I'm not Pastor Tino, and Emily's not Pastor Brenda. They have laid such a good legacy here. And comparing one another and giftings and how we do stuff is just not fair to us or to them. We're different, and that's okay. And in that, we'll probably do things a little differently, and there's nothing wrong with that. But change is hard, right? Change is hard. But we don't just change stuff to change stuff because we like a certain style, or we want to do this or do that, or we want to be that type of church. We make changes so that we can reach people for Christ. And our heart is to see this whole Roanoke Valley flipped upside down for the kingdom of God. I really wish to run myself out of a job. Everybody in this region would know Christ. What a good problem that would be. Amen? And so with that said, we will do things, some things different. And I appreciate your support in that. And in saying that, number five, we need your help. This is not the Dallas and Emily show. Not a television guy. Okay, this is not our time on the air. We simply get to serve alongside of all of us as we labor towards the goal of making disciples together. And I'm telling you and asking you from the bottom of my heart, please pray. Please get passionate. Please commit. Please serve. Please give your resources and your finances in which you are able. If we want to see this church family flourish, if we want to see our church that has existed for 68 years, we want to see it go way past and it's 168 years old if the Lord doesn't come back before that. If we want to see the ministry continue, it's going to take all of us. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, we need you. We need you. I mean that. If we want to witness a move, a great move of God together, it's going to take the whole village, my friends. That said, Emily's already read our text for the day. So let's look back at 1 Kings chapter 17 and 18. The title of the message today is real simple. Little cloud, big God. Look at your neighbor and say, little cloud, big God. Our story today is in the book of 1 Kings. The book of 1 Kings originally, it's broken up into two different books in our Bibles, but originally it was just one long book of the story of the kings of Israel after David. Remember, at the end of 1 and 2 Samuel, you have David, King David, the man after God's own heart. 2 Samuel chapter 7, God promises King David that his throne would reign forever, and this messianic king would come one day and bring about the kingdom of God. But unfortunately, as you read the story through the Kings, Most of it's pretty dark. Most of it's pretty sad. David himself made some mistakes. But starting real quick, went David to Solomon. Solomon started off pretty good and then quickly jumped off the train. And unfortunately, you see this habit continue throughout the book of Kings, 1 and 2 Kings, of all these evil kings who turn away from worshiping Yahweh and thus turn the people away from worshiping Yahweh. And they decide to worship the Baals and the Ashtaroths instead. It's a really hard, dark time in Israel, really. At the same time as all these kings who are really wicked are reigning, this is when we begin to see the rise of the prophets in Israel. You got prophets like Elijah and Elisha, Jeremiah and Isaiah, and all of them prophesied in this dark time. They called upon the kings and the people to repent and turn back to their first love. And while some of the kings did repent and obey God, some, for the most part, the damage was too much. And by the end of the book of Kings, the nation of Babylon comes into Jerusalem and destroys it, and destroys the temple, and carries off God's people to a foreign land. This is the climate in which our story in 1 Kings 17 and 18 are posed. We have the prophet Elijah as our main character in the story. And without question, Elijah is one of the most distinctive persons in the Bible. Who loves the stories about the prophet Elijah? I mean, they're good. Elijah and Elisha, you just love to read these stories. He's a prophet, preacher, political reformer, and a miracle worker all at the same time. But at the heart of this prophet, at the heart of Elijah, there's one thing that he hates most and he prophesies against most, and that is the worship of Baal. Him and Jezebel, fierce enemies. And the story of Elijah on Mount Carmel embarrassing the 450 prophets of Baal is a wonderful story to read. But our story in which we're reading today takes place a little bit before that one and right after that story. So if you remember in 1 Kings 17, 1, I'll read it again. 1 Kings 17, 1 says this, "Now Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, 'As the Lord God of Israel lives, who I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at his word.'" And literally for the next 3.5 years in Israel, there is no rain. There is a drought of epic proportions. This is terrible. They didn't have Walmart and cute greenhouses. They didn't have your local farmer's market. If they didn't grow it themselves, if they didn't get rain from the sky, it was really hard to live. And this time in Israel, during this drought, was a very rough, terrible time. But after Elijah embarrasses the prophets of Baal on top of Mount Carmel, we read something begins to shift. Something begins to change in the story. Here's a few things that I want us to pay attention to in this story as a community as we start and begin our next chapter as a church family. Number one, hear before see. Look at your neighbor and say, hear before see. 1 Kings 18:41, the word of the Lord says this. Elijah said to Ahab, "Go, eat and drink, for there is the sound of heavy rain." Now, if you look closely at the text, my friends, what's Elijah talking about? He says, "Ahab, go, get ready, eat and drink. There's a sound of heavy rain." But there's no rain yet. I mean, you look at the text, it doesn't happen until just a little bit later. He says, "Ahab, I hear the sound of heavy rain. Are you sure, meteorologist Elijah? You know, maybe he's one of our Roanoke meteorologists. It's been raining a lot here, and sometimes they don't get it right, right? Meteorologist Elijah's having a tough time. Perhaps he didn't get his science lesson back in the day on the difference between the speed of light and the speed of sound. If you didn't know, the speed of light, my friends, this light travels at 299,792,458 meters per second. In other words, that's really fast. The speed of sound is only 343 meters per second. Let me put this in an example. When I lived in Fort Worth, we lived near a military base. And often I would go outside and I could see fighter jets flying over the house. And they were moving. But I could always see them before I heard them. You know what I'm talking about? If a plane's moving so fast, it's breaking the sound barrier, you will see it fly across your house before you even hear it. You'll see it fly by, then you'll hear boom, and it jacks your ears up and it hurts real bad. I think Elijah didn't get this lesson. There's no rain, so what do you hear? Like, there is no rain, brother. It is a drought. What are you talking about? The sound of a heavy rain. I think obviously Elijah has a different set of ears on. Elijah's not crazy, my friends. This is how God often works. In the world, we need to see something before we begin to hear about it and do something about it. But in the kingdom of God, we often hear from God before we see it. Does that make sense? We hear God speak before he moves. He says, I'm going to bring healing, and then he does it. We hear God speak his word before we see it come to fruition. And when that happens, my friends, you know for sure, without a doubt, it's from God. We hear, and then we see it in the kingdom. I remember it was August of 2023. My second daughter had just been born, and my mom had flown out to Missouri to visit us. We had a great time. It was so good to see her. But as soon as my mama left, whether I was homesick for my mama, just homesick for the mountains, something in my heart began to shift that day. And for the next few months, I began to hear God whisper things about Virginia, going back home. And I would say, oh, that's a weird thought. I need to stay out here in the Midwest, you know. It would come to mind again. I would hear it, and I'm like, this doesn't make sense. How would I ever move back? Then just a few months later, my father has a heart attack. It's not something that I believe God willed whatsoever. Nevertheless, in God's providence, he allowed it to bring us back to the state of Virginia. The point being, I could hear God speaking before I saw it happen. Many times in the kingdom, we will hear it before we see it. And I confess to you today, my friends, that in this church and in this community, I can hear the sound. I can hear the sound of a great move of God. I can hear the sound of disciples being made. I can hear the sound of people being born again. I can hear the sound of people being delivered and set free. I can hear the sound of the Roanoke Valley being invaded with the kingdom of God. My friends, I can hear the sound. My question to you is, can you hear the sound too? Last week, it was really great to have this place filled up. It was such a great celebration last week. I think the Sam's Club stations were my favorite. Did y'all get a sample? It was good. It was good. Shout out JD for the brisket. It was great. It was great to see this place filled up with people. While, my friends, it's not about numbers. It is about souls. And what I want to tell you today, I want to deposit into your heart, into your spirit bank, if you will. I can hear the sound of a move of God right here in Vinton, Virginia. There's coming a day, my friends, and it's not far off, where our Lord Jesus will return for a glorious bride. And my friends, I want to be ready. I want to say, Jesus, we've been waiting for you. All of us are ready to be with you, for you to make all things right. But sometimes when you look around, like today, compared to last week, you see and you're like, well, how could we ever see a great move of God? I'm telling you, my friends, you can hear it before you see it. God's gonna move. He's already on the move, if you've not noticed in the past year. He's on the move. In the kingdom, we hear before we see, and this is exactly what happens with Elijah. He hears the sound of the heavy rain before it even comes. Number two, you got two options. You can either lay or pray. Look at your neighbor and say, you can take a nap, or you can have go to prayer meeting. You can either lay down or you can begin to pray. So this is what I mean by this. In 1 Kings 18:42, this is what happens. So Ahab went off to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Mount Carmel, bent down to the ground, and put his face between his knees. So you got two options as we begin to hear the sound of heavy rain. You can either be like Ahab. Ahab goes down. He says, yo, I want a ribeye. I want it medium rare because that's the way to eat a steak, okay? I want it medium rare. I might take a nap while you're preparing. Give me a little something to drink. It's been a hard day. I saw all these prophets die. I think I just need to lay down and relax. Or you can be like the prophet Elijah. He hears the sound of the heavy rain, and what does he go do? Praise. While Ahab's down below enjoying a meal, not worrying about the heavy rain that's coming, the prophet Elijah, he gets down on his knees on top of the mountain, and he begins to call out to God. He begins to pray. He says, Yahweh, I can hear the sound of a heavy rain. I prayed years ago that it would not rain until I said, and Lord, I'm asking you would do it now. You've already declared and proclaimed your glory by destroying the prophets of Baal, by sending fire from heaven. I'm asking now, would you send rain? And he gets down in a posture of humility, and he prays. I'm talking like them good old prayer meetings. He prays. Like those prayer meetings we used to have at church camp growing up. We just linger around the altar and we would pray. I'm too young to say Terry, but you get my point. He gets down and prays. There's only two options, I think, once you hear the sound of the heavy rain. You can either lay down and just say, oh, we'll see if it comes. We'll just relax. We'll just lay down our faith and expectation. Or you can get down on your knees and begin to pray. I love what James 5:16-17 says. He says, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Point being, prayer is powerful. Prayer is powerful. His response of prayer in this moment reveals the posture of his heart. He says, I hear the sound of the heavy rain. I don't see it yet, but I believe it's going to take place. So what I'll do, I'll humble myself and I'll partner with God in prayer to see his plans and purposes executed in this place, in this region right now. He begins to pray while Ahab is sitting down, laying. My friends, it's not enough just to hear the word. It's not enough just to hear the sound. It is to act upon the word by begin praying into that word. James 1:22 says, do not merely listen to the world, so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. I love what the KJV says. It says, but be ye doers of the word, not only hearers, deceiving your own selves. So before the rain falls, before the great move of God happens, before all that happens, we can respond in faith by praying, getting down onto our knees and calling upon God to do it. I love Jesus' prayer. He says, "Our Father who is in heaven, may your name be recognized as holy, or hallowed be your name." And then what does he pray? "May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in the heavens." Well, if God's just going to do what he's going to do, why should I pray anyways? God's already got it all planned. Jesus's prayer reveals to us that God wants to do what he has planned through us. Do you get what I'm saying? He wants to partner with us that we would pray, "Father, let your kingdom come right here in Vinton. Let your kingdom come right here in this nation. Let your kingdom come and your will be done. As it is perfect in the heavens in your realm, let it be so here." It's a theology of partnership. This comes from the garden. And what I'm saying in this story, what I see, we can either lay down our expectation or we can press in by praying. And when I want to tell you this, I'm going to hammer it. I'm going to have some fun. I can hear the sound. My question is, can we pray into the sound before we see it come to pass? That's my question. You hear before you see it, or you and you can lay before you pray. Then, here comes the hard part. Point number three. Go look again? Look your neighbor and say, "Again?" You got to put your voice real high. Say, "Again?" You got to be silly. "Again? You want me to go look again?" So Elijah tells his servant while he's praying earnestly to God, "Hey, go crawl up a little bit more on the mountain and look out towards the Mediterranean Sea and see what you can see and report back to me." And six times, the servant goes and he looks out onto the sea where hopefully a storm's gonna start a brewing, and there ain't nothing. He goes the first time, he's like, there ain't nothing. Second time, "You're not real good at this, Elijah." Third time, "Are you serious? How did you get a job as first century meteorologist? You're like, how did you do this? What are you talking about? Go look again?" Have y'all ever just served and served and served and served and served, and you wonder sometimes, why aren't we seeing more fruit? You know what I'm saying? You labor. You lay down your life. You give it your all, and you're asking God, "Where is the harvest, God? Where's the fruit? I've been planting. I've been tending the land. I've been doing what you're asking me to do. You want me to go look again? Where's the rain? Where's the rain?" This is the hard part, because again, I can hear the sound of a great move of God. We got to begin praying into that sound, that prophetic sound of what God wants to do here on the earth. But my question, friends, do we have the perseverance and the faith to keep going when it's hard, to keep looking when we don't see anything happening just yet? Sometimes in the physical, we can get discouraged. It's not happening as fast as I want to. God's not pouring out his blessing like I thought he would. This is taking longer than I thought. But the question is, even when it's hard, even when you've poured yourself out, even when you've served in that kid's ministry another week and a kid done puked on you again, you know, can you keep doing it until you see the rain? Can you do it again, knowing I've already heard what you want to do, God? I'll keep going. I'll keep going to look until you do it. Go look again. Go look again. Good thing, though, in this story, on the seventh time, the number of perfection.
something changes. Look at your neighbor and say, something's about to change. Point number four, Keaton, come. If you would come tickle the ivories. Get ready. Here it comes. Look at your neighbor and say, get ready. Get your boots on. Get your galoshes on. It's about to rain. Does anybody got a pair of galoshes? No galoshes here? Okay. I got rid of mine. I was in this play, this side note just for fun. I was in a play once and my mom had, how much were them galoshes? $100? They were expensive galoshes. They didn't fit. I looked like a clown, okay? Get ready. Here it comes. 1 Kings 18:44. The seventh time, the servant reported, a cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea. The Mediterranean Sea is very big. Okay, it's not like the Atlantic or the Pacific, but it's a big body of water. And on the seventh time, the servant's like, you know what? I see a little something. Something's waving at me. There's a little hand coming out to sea. A little cloud. But there's a change on the seventh. It doesn't look like a big rainstorm yet. Just a little hand. Woo! Just a little hand. And Elijah says, go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds. The wind rose. A heavy rain started falling, and Ahab rode off to Jezreel. The power of the Lord came on Elijah. Tucking his cloak into his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. It was impressive because this was a 10-mile run in the rain with no modern hiking shoes. The small hand, my friends, the small hand of like the cloud rising from the sea is symbolic of the kingdom of God. It's symbolic of Yahweh's hand returning back to the land of Israel. This was a big deal for Elijah. He says, I can see a hand, a small hand rising from the sea. Elijah said, that's all I need. That's God's hand coming back on our land. That's it right there. You remember what Jesus said about the kingdom of God in Matthew 13, 31. He said, he told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all the seeds, when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree so that birds come and perch in his branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all the way through the dough. The small hand, my friend, is symbolic of God's hand coming back on his people and symbolic of the coming of the kingdom of God on the land. It looks small, but when it grows up, when some other clouds get around it, get ready. Here comes the rain. Not only is the small hand significant, the sea itself is significant. If you remember, as we preached through the book of Jonah back in February, I told you that the sea has long been a place that terrifies people. The sea represents chaos. It represents destruction. It represents evil in the Bible. And the servant said, I see a small hand coming up out of the sea. Not only is the kingdom of God coming, not only is the hand of God moving, it's coming over the nasty, destructive, chaotic enemy in the world. You remember back in Genesis, the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the watery depth. He's been over it the whole time, my friends. Sea has no chance against the move of God. The enemy has no chance to thwart the plans of God. See the hand? It's over the sea. Woo! It's a beautiful picture of the gospel and the coming of the kingdom of God. And again, Ahab was already too late. Ahab had been busy laying down and eating a snack and just relaxing. And it's too late. Ahab tries to hitch up his chariots in time. And he has to call roadside assistance to get his chariots out the mud. He should have already been on his way to Jezreel. Gets caught in the storm. He gets caught in the great rainstorm that begins to fall on the land. And Elijah, who's now drenched in rain, refreshed in the power of the Spirit, he runs 10 miles straight to Jezreel. And Jezreel was the home base of Ahab and Jezebel. Can you imagine this sight? Imagine you're Jezebel. Hey, Dad, Dan Herndon. Hey, wave at me. Be my Jezebel for a minute. Look like Jezebel. All right. You see Jezebel back there? Can you imagine that wild man, that prophet Elijah? You imagine him sprinting straight towards Jezebel in Jezreel, full of the power of the Spirit with a massive rainstorm coming behind. He's already slaughtered all these prophets of Baal. I tell you what, Jezebel and the enemy, they done shuddered. I tell you what happened on Easter Sunday. The enemy's already been embarrassed. He lost all authority. Jesus has all authority now. And this is a symbolic, prophetic image. Elijah heading towards Jezreel to make all things right. The nasty nation that has been disregarding and disobeying God, things are changing now. The rain's coming. The rain's coming. I love what Jesus said in Matthew 11, 12. He says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been subjected to violence and violent people have been raiding it. Now, this is kind of an odd verse, but go with me for a minute. Go with me. This is not meaning that the people of God have literally been killing each other to get into the kingdom of God. Rather, it speaks of the violent eagerness people have to getting into the kingdom of God. They hear the word of the God. They're so full of boldness. They're so full of excitement. They're so eager to see God and his plans move that it's almost violent. I love what Charles Spurgeon said. Charles Spurgeon said, ah, my fellow men, if ye sit down and fold your arms and say, I'm so good, I have a right to heaven, how deceived you will be. But if God has convinced you of your lost, ruin, and undone condition, if he has put his quickening spirit within you, you will use a bold and desperate violence to force your way into the kingdom of heaven. Point being, Satan, demons, and the gates of hell shudder when they see a Jesus people rising up. When the people of God rise up and say, I've heard the sound, I prayed for it to come, I kept looking for expectation, now here it comes! The kingdom of God and the church isn't just this little, 501(c) organizations that pop up here and there and we just have fun praising God. Ooh. The kingdom of God is real. It is the real kingdom of God and it's on the move. I love what C.S. Lewis said. He said, Aslan is on the move. I tell you what, my friends, God is on the move. And God's not here to build big ministries, to prop up personalities. He's here to turn the heart. He's here to turn the hearts of the children back to God. For far too long, the church in America has been way too comfortable. We got nice air-conditioned buildings when I remember to turn it on. Sorry about last week. It was hot. So, the focus has, we have lost sight of the focus. We got to get back to the basics. The kingdom of God is advancing, and I want to be a part of it. Here in a moment, we're going to have a time of prayer as a community. All we're going to do, 10, 15 minutes, I'm asking you to pray with me. I'm asking that you would hear the sound with me and we would just pray.